Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown, and this is the driver interview portion. So I want to remind everybody to please like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at Woodhall Raceway on Facebook and Woodhall Raceway 64 on TikTok. This week I am joined by our Ladd Road Auto, our reigning and defending Ladd Road Auto track champion, Brandon Conklin. How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, before we get started, I want to warn everybody that I'm half an idiot, so God only knows what comes out of my mouth. So,
Well, hey, we can edit.
yeah,
That's the beauty. That's the beauty. So I do want to start with this. I can't imagine that you could really envision a better weekend than what you just had. What I really want to know is what were you thinking coming out of turn four on that last lap, really?
to be honest with you, I had that plan from about lap 15 and I was waiting for an opening. I was actually hoping for a mistake from Phillips, and man, he did not give me one. So as the laps went down, he just kept running a great line and doing what he needed to do as the leader. And I said, well, I got one chance. Let's wait till the last lap and see if I can get it done.
And then your king, I did want to ask on the king of the bull ring too. What were you thinking when you and Joe Berzel were in the finals there?
Oh man, I'm still grinning ear to ear. Getting something from Joe is tough, and I knew if I could beat him off the start, I could take his line away. And the look on his face was priceless when I got to him before my interview. He was in there shaking his head at me. He's like, "You got the best of me. Don't let it happen again." And that was the best part of my night, was the look on Joe Berzel's face telling me that congratulations, and just. He was half upset and just shaking his head that I might have got the better of him.
Right, and I don't think Joe would mind me saying this, but I think everybody in the Steuben County knew where he was going to go. Is that kind of a plan, was to get up top as quick as possible?
Oh, for sure. I had to go and take the Joe Berzel line away and try to break his speed, because you can't beat the 88 if you're going to give him the outside.
Now I do want to jump back to the feature now. I kind of went out of order, but you know what? I'm kind of known for that. So, back in the feature, did you know that you had him at the line, or were you just waiting for the official word? Because that might be the closest finish that I've seen.
I was staring out my passenger window and I was looking right at Phillips, and then right about the scoring loop, I saw him disappear behind my B pillar. So I was 90% confident, but I didn't know if it was before or after the scoring loop.
And then when something like that happens, and I know Todd went to check transponders, was there anything like, oh crap, what if this thing's pushed up just a little bit, or did you know that you're just good to go?
I was really confident because I've measured it before, but we're borrowing a transponder from the track until mine gets repaired. And I honestly didn't know where it got put, and it got put right in the right place.
Right. So who puts them on? I always figured you would.
Well, my buddy Ronnie put them on this week because we have to
Okay.
zip tie it because it's not the same as the one that I'm getting repaired. So instead of going in my holder, we zip tied it on where it goes. And thankfully, it was put right over top of my existing mount.
Right. So good job on him then.
Yep.
you were I guess I just figured that you might be a little bit nervous, just kind of, something that close, and once they go and check and you're like, oh smokes. What if it is? 'Cause I mean, I don't know. Is that something that could ever get kind of pushed back or forward, or are they just kind of set there and they're not going to go anywhere?
Yeah, our mounts are screwed on, so it's really tough to move, and I was pretty confident by that point. I was pretty confident we were good. I was When we went over the scale, I heard they said 69, 88, 87, and I was like, how about the one? And then they said one to victory lane or whatever they said, and I was like, oh, yes.
Well, yeah, that's actually good that they forgot you to go straight to tech, right?
Yeah, they were just calling us to go over the scale there, and I was like, maybe he forget to hit the button before they talked. And I was like, uh-oh, what happened? And then he said that. I was like, oh, perfect. Then I had that little bit of gut feeling for a second, and then we were back to pretty excited.
Have you ever
Whether
heard
you
that?
win or lose that one, you got to enjoy that. I mean, as a driver, even if you didn't win, that's still a really nice night. Your heart's beating the whole time, and
Well, I told Terry on, we do a recap show on Sundays, well, Mondays. And I told him, I said, you know what's funny is I thought last, or well, not last weekend, but the last time we raced, you and Joe Birdsall put on a heck of a race. And I thought that was a race of the year contender. And then you hobby stock guys, you come out and then outdo yourself again.
I don't know if I want to be part of many more of these. I don't know how much I can take. I mean, racing Joe and then racing Phillips. I mean, they're the cream of the crop. So if anytime you can get above either of them, you've done a pretty good job.
So how much fun is it to race with them guys? And I think for the most part, I think your class is pretty clean. I know maybe some people might disagree with me here and there, but I think for the most part, you guys all race each other pretty clean and respectfully. So just how much fun is it to race with just like that, you know?
Oh, it's great. I don't, if you had to ask me to find the dirtiest or the guy that's going to lean, I can't think of anybody. I've never had a racing problem with Scott Brown or Dylan or Joe, or even when Joe's crazy brother drives, and Dylan's always raced me clean too. So the guys that all could win the race are all going to run you clean. And I mean, we all make mistakes. We're not professionals, but they're going to race you as clean as everybody can race you.
Right, and I maybe have you ever put some thought into it that if you don't know the dirty driver, maybe it's the one car?
Oh, Joe always tells me that. He always calls me a cheater and tells me I'm dirty. So maybe I am.
I'm just picking on you a little bit here. So now I kind of want to go back to the beginning. How did you get started in racing? Is this something that your family always did, or?
Wayne Robertson, I used to help Wayne a lot. We did a lot of traveling in late model and just always knew I wouldn't be as talented as him, but I always wanted to give my hand. Give a try to it because he's done things that I could only dream of, and I hope he doesn't hear me say anything nice about him because that would be horrible.
Well, you talked to you said Wayne, did you ever think about getting a late model or just the hobby
Well,
stock and
that's where we'll end up. I'm sure I just need to, make time at work, and work is always crazy busy, and with things ever slow down, hopefully the next few years, and I can kind of pawn off some of my daily activities to employees and maybe some subcontractors. I can take some time, and because that's something that you can't do at night in this job. It is repeated nights. There's tires. There's all kinds of stuff to go through if you want to do it right.
I talked to Austin Allen before on this podcast, and he said it's pretty much like another full-time job. So he's, by the time you're done with it, you're working 100 hours a week, half at work and half in your shop. So
Yeah, the trouble is I do 60, 70 at work, so I don't think I got another full-time job in me.
Right. Yeah. And then being able to show up on Saturdays and not be dead ass tired. So where'd
Yeah,
the, what's that?
I was gonna say just that's where it kind of started for me, was spending a lot of time at the track with some drivers, and especially all the traveling we did with Wayne. That was some of the best memories I got of racing is right there.
So I gotta ask, you said you traveled with Wayne. Is that kind of what made you travel? Because I think you might be one of the few hobby stock guys that does get out there and travel. I think you went to where'd you go last year? Down south,
Yeah,
Georgia,
we are in
maybe?
the most southern racetrack in the country. We were in darn near to Miami in Florida. So, and we got rained out three different times. I wanted to go this spring, so we're hoping to hit up some tracks this fall. So we'll probably end up in Tennessee and probably Georgia and Florida at some point is the plan.
Well, what'd you think of Afton when you went there? I know it, the rain out sucks, but what'd you think about the track when for the heat races and everything?
We're going back. I think we have a night when we're off at Woodhull. We are definitely, the plan is to go there. That little D-shaped track was a blast, and I'd like to have 20 straight laps to see what we could do with
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to run a derby on, I can tell you
it.
that. So how'd you come up with your number one? Is that 'cause you're number one?
No, I was looking through car pictures and this and that, and believe it or not, I think Craig Crooker was the one that sent me Rick Mast paint scheme that was black and white. And of course, Rick Mast at the time was the one car. I believe after that he was the 75, but it looked so good on that black and white paint scheme. I'm like, I can't think of a number, so let's be the one.
Is that why the car's black and white too?
Yep. If you look up a picture of Rick Mast NASCAR paint schemes, you're going to see a black and white And this is kind of a petrol design based off of that. It's not quite what he had, but it is, our goal was to kind of give homage to that.
Is that who did your car this year? Was
He did the design, and Terry Pierce put it on.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good deal. So I gotta ask you about the mall show, because I think you were one of the only ones to drive it through the parking lot. Do you have a little bit of fun when you have that thing out in public?
Oh, it makes noise. I don't know. They sound like all the right noises, but yeah, it'll turn some heads when it comes to life.
Yeah, I just know that once I heard it start, and I kind of turned around and I go, who the hell's starting that thing? And I go, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. The guy
Yeah,
without the computer.
Bill and Adam Lubner are a very, I don't even want to say a big part. They're all, that's all them. That's all their thoughts and planning and contacts and hard work. And, we give them a little feedback, but Bill and Adam Lubner are the source of the power. That is for sure.
Right. And I mean, you're a pretty good driver too, so that helps a little bit, you know.
I feel like I'm limited on talent compared to some of my counterparts, but hopefully, because we race 25, 30 plus times a year, that we can kind of slowly bridge that gap. Because if we were going by talent, Joe Birdsall would wax me every week. I know it.
Well, I think he's got a lot more laps than most of you guys in the hobby stacks.
Oh, for sure. He's got way more laps than I'll ever probably get to, even if he retires soon.
Yeah, well, you got him beat at other tracks, I'd have to imagine, because I think he's been pretty much just Woodhull for his most of his career, to my knowledge, anyway.
Yeah, he went to 5 Mile Point with me a few times, and I think we'd been down there before they closed 20 plus times, and we've been to the hill a handful of times and had some success. And as we get east, they're factory stocks. We are definitely a little outgunned in the car department, so you need to hit your mark and be as consistent as you can, because them things are, they're serious cars.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because Woodhull is pretty, I would say it's pretty much the stockiest you're going to find. So how is it going to other tracks and competing with, I guess, more, they can do more to them. Do you just do that stuff to go there and then switch it all back, or?
No, we generally, because a lot of these tracks have, over the year, the last few years, I've been to enough that they, most of these tracks are giving us an extra $100 to the highest finishing Woodhull car, and they're really doing a trying to get guys in, and so we have to stay true to our Woodhull rules, or else we don't, like we have a little better shock compared to everybody's on a spec shock for the most part. So to keep my shocks and not have to really tear the car apart, they allow us to do that. So we, for the most part, we are exactly the way we're racing at Woodhull when we go anywhere else, unless we travel down south and we're on a different tire and probably a different carburetor or something like that.
I was gonna say, do they run racers for them in
But,
at
as
other
you get
places?
down south, factory stocks have to run racers, either Hoosiers or racers.
Now how's that go? Is that a whole different ball game for you, or?
Because I had a lot of experience with late model tires, and from a fast track tire to a rush tire, I've been on and around Hoosiers and racers, and there's guys that'll definitely help. Craig Crooker and is very instrumental in an education I've got on tires, and I'm sure he's only scratched the surface with me, but he is a very, he'll nerd you out on tires because his approach is very, very meticulous and goal oriented, and he's a was a great teacher with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been around it a long time too.
Yeah.
So how'd you feel watching Carter win then, if Craig's helping you out so much?
Oh, I definitely can't say anything nice about Carter. He's just a little shit, and we can't be real nice to him. But it was great to see him win, and all the congratulations is to him. He's a good egg, and he puts a ton of time in, and so I was glad to see him get a win this early in the season.
Yeah, did you ever think about going to an open wheeled, whether it be a sportsman or was it?
Race cars have fenders. Farm tractors don't.
You might get a lot of heat for that.
And I'll take it. I just, if like our cars, I really think they should stay steel like they are, so they look like the cars from one of my childhood. And as far as late models, that's just, to me, that's a race car. If you ask me what a race car is and I had to draw a picture, I'm drawing a late model from a young age all the way up till now.
Right. One of my favorite things about the hobby stacks is kind of the barrier to entry there. Just because you can pretty much get into a big V8 car and not have to drop a ton of money into it to start out. Is that something that you kind of enjoy about it too, or?
Yeah, it's, I mean, to be real competitive and go other places and be successful, it does take a fair amount for what we're, you know, what we're getting in return from winnings. But you can get in and have a good night and really be kind of competitive for not a whole lot of money. I mean, you can buy a used car somewhere, do a little fixing. You know, Joe and I have definitely tried to help out new people, and so we could give you some pointers just to get more people into the class to have a good time. We are a group of friends, and we're always talking crap to each other and picking on each other. And I think we all pick on Joe because he just, I don't know, he just look has a face that you want to pick on, I guess.
Well, I'd say he might be the one that could take the joke the best too.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen Joe get mad. You know, even when he got flipped over. I'll say even when Mike Palmer dumped him over, yeah, he was still in a good mood.
Oh, he's a character. So when somebody told me he had his shirt off, I'm like, ah. I'm not surprised. That sounds just like Joe.
Yeah, he stood at the top of turn three and he had his coat or his jacket off, and he lifted the shirt right up and went, "Woo!" And I said, "Yeah, there's Joe Birdsall over there at the top of turn three for you."
It's hard to beat that man because when he gets by you, I'm cheering for him because I want to know what he's going to do in victory lane. I'm not giving him nothing, and I would never give him nothing. But I'm telling you, when he gets by you and you know there's a victory lane celebration coming, you're like, hey, bring it on. I got to see this.
I'll tell you one thing is that I think if I didn't take the microphone away from him, I think he would talk until the sun came up.
Oh, there is no doubt. And I mean, you just sit back and listen to hours of that. I really enjoy Joe a lot. He's special. Thankfully, he's one of a kind.
Yeah, I'll say that he's definitely one of the easier interviews to do at the racetrack.
Very entertaining.
So how do you like helping? Because I imagine you're helping that crew out. So how do you like helping the younger kids? I'm kind of thinking Cannon, and I guess Mike's not really young, but you know, just getting started.
Joe is responsible for helping them guys, probably, you know, the setups and that, all that for sure. You know, Cannon's young, so if he makes a mistake or he's thinking some way, I kind of think it's, you know, good for somebody that's not directly involved, but kind of to talk to him or maybe make him think a little differently, or even just give him, tell him he's doing a good job. I mean, you know, so I'm always, Joe's the setup guy for them guys for sure. And he's got some setup advice in my car too. So, but I try to help out when I can, especially with the younger kids. And he's, you know, Cannon's a pretty good kid. I enjoy him being around. And so whatever we can do to help, the goal is to hopefully he's better than all the rest of us in the coming years.
So is it kind of, so you said that Joe's got some setup advice for you, and you kind of do you give him some too?
No, I think Joe's the, I mean, we might talk some strategy, but I will say Joe is behind the setup of a lot of those cars. And for us, we're on the same shock people. And he's taken plenty of classes. So, and he's getting some information I know from Lubner's, or at least the theory of things. I mean, we all want to do things different, just because our driving style. So, but yeah, the shock wise and, you know, Joe might say, hey, we're going to try this or that. We're definitely going to try it to see if it works or don't. Or, and if you're not constantly experiencing or experimenting, then you're really not going to get any faster.
Right. So what's his reaction like when he tells you that you should do something, and then you take that advice and do it, and then you blow the field away?
Man, well, I don't normally blow the field away if the 88's there, especially, but no, he, you know, I've met a lot of people in my life and had a lot of friends, and they haven't always gone great, but Joe's one of the very few people that if you even beat him at something, he's genuinely happy for you. And that's what I really like about our group of guys.
Now you said you're working what, 60, 70 hours a week? What are you doing?
We do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of mobile repairs, out of town stuff. And as I've gotten older and my body's half beat up, instead of killing myself working on stuff, I do some DOT consulting. We do some accident reconstruction. I'm an expert witness. I've worked for a bunch of different attorneys and district attorneys, and so just, from truck accidents or trucking incidents, and that starts to become more and more as I get older. What we do, a lot of computer work, do work for some high risk insurance carriers. And
I just had a bad accident down the road from my house. Probably in a Hornell. I guess somebody hit three DOT workers on the side of the road.
oh yeah, that stuff's got to stop. People got to get off their phones, got to pay attention, can't be looking down. We got to take care of everybody that's on the side of the road.
Yeah, right. Slow down for sure. Yeah, I guess I don't know for sure. Nobody, they didn't really release any reason why. But yeah, I guess they hit three of them and then ran into the back of the truck. So that.
Yeah, I think they might have hit one of them outside the way I read it, and I could be wrong. And then they might have hit the truck, and the truck was occupied or something. But there's with all those lights, and I mean, we got it, and then it's under active investigation, I think. So there probably won't be many details
Yeah.
released until it's done. But no, I mean, we've got to, these people are out here trying to take care of the road, make it safer for you. So we got to watch out for them.
Well, that's what I said. I said if I'm going to complain about potholes all year long, I better be happy when they're over there fixing them. So I guess I can't get too mad if I complain about potholes and then they're actually fixing them and
No, there's two seasons in New York, winter and construction.
yeah, it seems that way. I can't say that I'm always the happiest when I drive through and I see the signs though.
Yeah, it slows you down, but at least they're trying. If they're
Yeah.
trying, even though it'll never be perfect, they're trying, and that's all that makes a difference.
Well, and I figure you probably can't blame the guys doing the work either. They're usually not the ones that make any sort of calls on what they're doing, you know?
No, they told and set out their days. This is what we're doing today, and away they go and do what they're supposed to do. So
Right. So what's your week look like when you're taking care of the car and racing? Do you just work all day and then go to the shop when you got time or?
fortunately, if I'm at the house, we work from home, so I'm either kind of in my office or in the shop, and so we're right there. So if I have a few minutes while we might be waiting for something or like parts or answers or anything, we try to get the car out, get it washed. And that's where a guy, Ronnie Tompkins, that's always with me, comes out. He usually goes to work 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It's crazy early. So in the afternoons, he's there, and he'll, pound some dents or wash the car or get some tires ready. And, we talk about what successes we had and, what that didn't work and what did work. And he's a big part of it, definitely for sure.
He's working my hours, 3:30 to 12:30.
Yeah, he drives for upstate, a milk company, and so they start their, deliveries to schools and grocery stores and all that stuff that time. And so there's a lot of nights we're coming home from anywhere, even including Woodhull, that Ronnie's sleeping on the way home because I know he's been up for 20 hours
Right.
or more.
Well, that's actually the reason why I left Outlaw is. You know, all the rumors that said about me and Spazman getting in a big fight in the announcer's tower. No, none of that's true. I couldn't stay awake on the ride home. I was too tired from getting up at 3:30 and then getting home from the races that late, you know?
Oh yeah.
So I was picking on Terry Pierce too, because he went up with you guys up to Afton and your guys' feature was supposed to start at what, 10:30? I mean that's pretty late for a Monday the next
Yeah,
day.
it seems to be, I've been on call, I think, my entire life and worked out of town, and then there's always been traveling after you get done with a 15, 16-hour, 20-hour shift. So that's one thing I'm pretty good about is staying awake and making sure you get home. And so fortunately, I guess it's not very fortunate that I've learned to be pretty good at it, but I guess that's one thing I'm probably pretty decent at.
Well, I mean, everybody else that's on the road with you probably appreciates it.
I got lots of practice from tow truck driving to road service repair and just, all the years of pipeline. And, after you work 16, 18 hours, you still got to get home.
So, how many places have you been to for work then? Different states, I mean.
Oh. I mean, I've probably been on every back road, goat path in Pennsylvania or Ohio. And I mean, we worked in Minnesota, we worked in Louisiana. I mean, we've worked a lot of different places. They might be quick jobs, and but
Right.
we try to stay as close to home as we can. But when there was gas boom, I think I was in every corner of Pennsylvania you can imagine it, West Virginia, even in Ohio.
When you go to these places, do you get to check out anything down there, or are you just strictly there for work?
Oh no, I always carry plenty of money that enough that I can buy every roadside treasure I can find or enough to hold it till I get back. I'm definitely a junk collector. There's always signs or parts or pieces or stuff that I don't really need, but I think of them as treasures.
So what's the coolest treasure you got then? Or
Oh
put you
no,
on
we're
the
not.
spot.
We can't say that because then somebody might want to come touch it or look at it or something. But
I can't tell if you're joking.
oh, I mean, we've been. I mean, you never know what you'll find on these back roads that maybe nobody's traveled really, other than the people who have lived on it for the last 100 years. These old farms that have been around since the early 1900s or something, and you drive by and you see these little treasures or stuff like that, and they're just. A lot of it probably don't mean a lot to everybody, but that just talks of a history from years that are, years gone by.
Right. Do you ever go to any dirt tracks when you're down there just to watch or?
Yeah, there's usually not enough time for that. You usually start between 5 and 6, and you work until the work's done. So if it's a 12-hour day, that's kind of a light day, but.
Right. So you pretty much just stop to sleep then.
Stop to sleep, and you don't get my size without eating, so.
Yeah, mine neither. I actually was a little I thought I was going to be a little late because I was eating dinner before. Usually Terry Pierce waits until we're done, and it's about 8:30, and I've already ate.
Yeah, I got here. He was out and running a manual shovel there, digging holes in the yard. I'm not sure if he was looking for gold or buried money or what, but I should go out and see what he dug up.
Hopefully not a body. He knew you were coming, so that might not be a good sign for you.
Small hole, so probably money. Coffee cans.
Well, you know what? Next time when he's gone, we're gonna have to go up there. You know where the holes are.
Yeah, we got him. I got a metal detector. We can find whatever he's burying.
Yeah, hopefully it's money or hopefully it's metal. What if he's just
Yeah,
got $100
hopefully he don't
bills?
have it in Tupperware cans. Hopefully he's got it in coffee cans.
Yeah, or I'm thinking like a suitcase, just
Yeah,
full
that
of
would be
money.
even better.
So you said I'm trying to think here. I was I got sidetracked, but so when you go out of town, what are you doing there? I know that you
Just, I mean, a lot of times we're going out of town, we're working for a large company that's got hundreds of trucks, and we're going to site to try to get them going or keep them going or even, just trying to make repairs to so they can keep doing the work that they need to do, whether it's from pipelining to gas well repair. And a lot of time, and I've kind of given that up so I can be a little closer to home, but we've been traveling to Syracuse for a trucking company for now for 13 years. We go once or twice a week and try to get a 20-hour day in so they can keep doing what they need to keep doing.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I mean, that's, I guess I didn't realize that there was well, I guess it makes sense to think about it, but I guess I never knew that there were companies out there that did that, So do they call you whenever they need you, or do you just know that they're going to need you at some?
Well, the one that I would say that I would call about guaranteed is. We've been doing it for all these years now. We're in constant contact. They're asking questions and texting, and we're back and forth on, maintenance plans or equipment purchases or selling or, I do some hiring for them and do most of the interviews. And so we're in constant contact all the time. So we kind of pick and choose what day it's going to be based on, their needs and what's best for me that what scheduled work I may have already. But
All right. So
and the
what
rest of
about?
them are on call, the phone. My phone's rang twice since I've been here, so I know there's somebody that didn't get home for the night or trying to schedule something for tomorrow.
So what's it mean to you to pick up the track championship? I mean, you guys have such a stout class, and what's it kind of feel like to kind of be, well, right now you're at the top of it. And you can say what you want about Joe Birdsall, but he didn't win the championship last year.
I guess I don't have a great way to put it. It does mean a lot because these guys are all been around longer than me and accomplished a lot more. So to get the best of them and be consistent long enough throughout the year that, it just speaks to the hard work that my crew and my family puts in to allow me to do this. Because I think what they do is 80% of it, and I get lucky just to pilot the thing after they've done all the hard work.
Well, I would always think that the racing is a pretty hard part of it too.
I can make consistent laps, but if you don't put the work in and get things right, and after the heat especially, you got to go down and redraw, and you're always doing something. So my stepdad Ron and my brother's always there, and they're doing some setup stuff that we normally do and asking questions of how it felt. So they do a fair amount, and I might come at the last second and make a suggestion, and I think they laugh at me and tell me they did it, and we go out and do well based on what they did anyway.
I was gonna say, because last season I think you had what, 8 feature wins, and this season you're at 500. I mean, you're 2 for 4, so that's got to be pretty good. And the
I don't know if
Kings
it
bowling.
I don't know if it was 7 or 8, but yeah, we were fortunate, and we had a 3 weeks in a row there that we won. And man, the fourth in a row would have meant the most to me, so I could hold something over Wayne's head and tell him, because I think the most he ever won was, 3 in a row, and he did it a few times. If I could have got the fourth, I would have something to talk back to him, because right now he talks and I just got to listen.
Well, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, with his resume compared to mine, I do got to listen to pretty much what he says when it comes to racing.
Well, I didn't know you were much of a listener, really.
Oh, I've been married 20 years. I got to be an expert listener or an expert ignorer, or at least, shake in agreeance all the time.
Right. Well, I'm pretty surprised you found somebody to put up with you for 20 years.
Oh, she's a beautiful woman, and I keep her heavily medicated and in need of glasses.
I looked it up, and I think 7's what you had.
Yeah, I think so. Six at
Seven.
Woodhull and one at Brantford.
Yeah, because you and then you're 2 for 4 this year. So you know what? That's a pretty good start.
And the first week, I gave one away, spun out by myself, ran out of talent, and give it away.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. We better touch on
I
that.
haven't forgot about that, and I won't.
So is that one that just kind of, you're never gonna let that one go then?
Well, I took my focus off what I was supposed to be doing, and was focused on something else, and it taught you a lesson, and you got to be on the entire time. And just like Saturday after I won, my mind went out the window. I drove right into turn one and smoked a Uke tire, so I had no dents until after the checkered come out. So I had 20 good laps in me, not 20 and a half.
Now, what is it? Is it more frustrating to lose like that, or better to win?
Oh no, if it was the role reversed and Phillips beat me, I still would have been excited, because it's hard to get that feeling when if you haven't raced and you're door to door and you're constantly battling whatever else you got going on at home or in your life or anything, just kind of melts away for a little bit when you're battling door to door and you're solely focused on hitting your marks and watching them and trying to be clean.
Yeah, he's one that I should have on here to get the perspective from the other side too, because I think he led what almost that entire feature. So that's a pretty
Yeah,
heartbreaking lead.
he was working hard today, and we went to lunch, and we come back through, and I'd seen his truck, and I stopped and was looking for him. I was going to rub it in his face a little bit and then drive away, but he was still working hard, so I didn't bother him none. But he did call me on Monday, I think, and congratulate me and tell me how much fun he had. So I really did appreciate hearing from him on Monday.
Well, John Lubick, he's the guy with me in the announcer's tower, says all the time. He says if you don't stay till the end of the races at Woodhull, you're crazy, because I think he says the hobby stocks are going to put on one of the best shows of the night.
Yeah, we are so evenly matched, four, five, six of us, that it could be anybody at any night, and man, we're gonna put on a show because we're so evenly matched.
Well, you have me to thank about your King of the Bullring win. Do you know that?
No, how's
Yeah,
that?
I put the announcer's curse on Brian Austin. So, I picked him to win the King of the Bullring. So then obviously he flipped over in the heat race. 'Cause,
Oh man. Man, I missed most of that. I kind of seen what was happening, and then I went by, and oh, after watching the video yesterday, it was pretty scary. I know Brian's got not one win. I mean, he's got multiple wins in him. He's got the ability. He's got a great car. Hopefully, he gets it back together soon, and I'll be just as happy for him if he beats me for the win. As I mean, I might not be happy when he's passing me, but after the checkered flag flies, I'll be about the happiest person for him.
Right, that's what, and that's what I said too, is it kind of makes you sick, because he puts all this time in, and I think this year he got a new car and he's been fast all year long, and then something like that happens, and I mean, I guess I don't know what's actually wrong with the car, but I'm guessing it's going to need a lot of work done. So hopefully he can get that thing back to where it needs to be and come out and be fast again.
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to the level of the craftsmanship that went in the car and the safety in the car. I mean, first and foremost, but I do know it's fast. The car builder, I don't know if he tells anybody who built it, but the car builder is a very, very sharp individual and, you know, has lots of great ideas. And I do think it's a very good car. It's just a matter of time before Brian maybe finds a little luck, gets to victory lane. And then I think once the monkey's off his back, he might be able to string a handful together.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I said it on one of the recaps. I said that he's going to win races this year, and lo and behold, that's what happened. So I said I don't know if he listens or not, but I said he can come up and yell at me if he wants because it seems like whenever the announcer talks good about you, then bad things happen.
Yeah, dude. Well, hopefully you don't ever say nothing nice about me then.
Well, I never, never. I
Good.
usually I try to avoid talking about you.
Good. Let's talk nice about Joe Burnsel every Saturday then. So give me a little break from that yellow car.
Well, you know what? You had a few breaks because he had miserable luck to start the year.
Oh, the first couple nights I couldn't imagine how bad he felt, and then to come back with the way that he won, you can't write stuff like that. Hollywood couldn't write a story that good.
It's only for Bird too, you know?
Oh yeah. And for somebody that puts in the hard work and willing to help everybody, oh man, like I said, it was tough to beat a guy you cheered for when you see him out your window, and I sure didn't give him nothing. He earned that, and thankfully it worked out for him. I couldn't have been happier for him.
Yeah, I just can't get over the fact that every week it seems like you guys, not just you and Bird, but you and Dylan or Dylan and Joe or whoever, it just seems like every week you guys race for almost 10 laps side by side. Very rarely does anybody touch anybody. You guys, I'm guessing you guys have one of the fewest caution counts of, on the year. I'm just amazed at how well you guys can do it.
Well, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. This group that we have right now, you can't get any better. They are honestly all good guys. We all want the same thing, and but we're willing to, take what we can take and give what we need to keep going in the right direction without tearing stuff up.
Yeah, based on what I've heard though, you got to look out if any of the Palmer boys are behind you with one to go.
Oh, I think they're only after Joe.
Oh no, they told me they'd wreck each other, so I figured anybody was fair game.
Yeah, Cannon told me that he would wreck me coming to the checkers, and I said, buddy, I love you to death, but I'd wreck you for the checkers too.
Well, you got it, right?
Oh yeah, I told him I'd rattle his chain, I'll get him square in the bumper early to try to rattle him, but every week he gets a little better and a little better, and man, I see some success for that kid in the future.
Definitely, and he's got a great mentor there. That's what I'll call Joe for him. Kind of a funny one. I don't, but when it comes to racing,
Oh yeah. Yeah, Joe's definitely there, and his dad and his mom and his family so supportive. If the kid wants to be successful, he will become successful if he stays with it.
yeah, that's what, and that's the good thing too, is because I think a lot of kids, it's pretty discouraging. I'd have to imagine kind of your first year, because I've never driven a race car, and I know exactly how it would go if I drove a race car. So I just enjoy it when kids stick with it, because I can't imagine that it's very much fun your first year when you're really struggling and kind of just learning,
Well, if you got a race suit and a helmet after the race this Saturday, if it's in one piece when I come off the track, it's addicting, but you can take it out and give it a try.
This is what I tell everybody. I say I can't do it because then if I do it and then I wreck it, I don't have the money to fix it, and I don't want any, I don't want to ruin anybody's season. So maybe at the end of the year, Kyle Leach offered me a well, what you would call a tractor at the end of the year.
Right.
So, but you might hate to hear this, but I've always been a modified guy, so.
Oh, there's no doubt. Growing up when Billy Van Pelt was a young man, I remember him as a young man, just watching that and the battles with him and everybody else, his brother and Rudalovich coming there from the 145 for a while. That was some great racing. But we've been a lot of places and watched some late model and super late model racing, and whew, late models can put on a show.
Yeah, they can. I've watched them over at Freedom, and they don't. That's the other thing is they don't really come around the super ones. I mean, they don't really come around here too much. I know Outlaw has a show, and Freedom probably has one or two, but
Oh, and that Outlaw last year, I mean, the modifieds are fast, but them supers get there and they go without lifting into the corner and just somehow get through and just watching how fast. Man, there's nothing like a super late model getting around those bigger tracks.
you ever see that in your future?
No, I wouldn't waste such a good car on a fool like me. So maybe I'd like to be part of it and help somebody, but there's much more talented people than me for that job.
Well, yeah, there's much more talented people than most people for that job. So you just see a crate then in your future.
Yeah, a 604 probably for around here, and we'll have a 602 if we want to go south, because most of them that I want to go to are 602 powered cars.
What's the difference there, carburetor?
A 602 is what we run in our crate sportsman now, like Kenny's car, and a 604, which makes more powers in our local late models, our rush cars.
Okay. Do you know the difference on them?
350 to 500 horse, I think, is the difference. I think a good sportsman now makes 350 to 400, and the late models probably make 5+.
Really, I didn't think there'd be that big of a gap, but
Yeah, I mean, one's a steel-headed motor and one's an aluminum with a lot better intake, and so there are quite a few differences, and just the way they can run their accessories, there's a lot less draw on them. So I do think they can. There's got to be 100+ horsepower split between the two.
yeah, I've always said, and I'll never deny it to anybody, that I've never, I don't know anything about these cars, really, any of them. I went into the pit area, and this is the level of expertise I have. I went into the pit area, and Kyle Leach was showing me what a radius rod was. So that's where I'm at.
Oh, them farm tractors got all these weird parts and names for things. I don't even know what they are, but on a late model, I could tell you what the stuff was and how it works, but the farm tractor stuff, they're finally coming around to coil springs and real shocks, but
I tell you, you're gonna take a lot of heat. You might have people throwing stuff at you on Saturday.
well, I hope it don't go that far, but I'm always in for a little picking. I mean, because I can't stop it. And so I'm hoping that I get under the skin of a couple people, maybe the 5K car, and maybe I'm just pointing it at him for a reason, because there's nothing better than giving Kenny crap.
I tell you one thing, you could probably go to the track on Saturday, and a lot of those modified guys and sportsman guys will give you right back to you about late models. Except for maybe Kenny, because I think Kenny actually wants to try one.
I think all those farm tractor guys secretly wish they were in a full fendered hobby stock, to be honest with you.
I will say that when I talked to Kenny, he did say that he wants to run the Woodhull 100.
So he, well, if there's a street stock in our future, and I don't know if there is or not, but if he wants to run it and we have something he can drive, he's more than welcome to.
See, that's a good question here. Would you, if when you move up, do you think you'll go right to a street stock or right to a late model?
To a late model,
Yeah.
I feel, I mean, for one great reason, I don't want to have to race Glenn Reitner on a weekly basis.
I don't think you're alone there.
Oh man, that thing is always fast, and it is seems to be head and shoulders faster now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to have your hands full with Steve LeBaron and Brett Marlatt.
Oh, and we're going to travel and try to get our skills home before we try to show up and go kid some of these guys on their home tracks.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere nobody knows who I am, maybe, so because I look like a fool for a while.
You're going to have to ask Terry if you could rent the track out.
Oh, just as long as nobody's watching.
We're going to put up a Facebook Live of you.
Oh, it'll be entertaining. It won't be good laughs, but it'd be entertaining.
I think you'd figure it out. I don't think it'd take you very long before you figured it out.
I would hope not, but I've heard guys say that have drove cars like ours all the way up through, and they say it's a lot easier to drive to get, to a base setting to be consistent, because they're all race cars, and there's nothing about a hobby stock that's race car. There's no fancy race car parts or nothing. It's 80s technology, and if you
Yeah.
get to a late model, that's all race car parts. I'm
Right.
not saying it would be easy to win. I think it might be easy to be half consistent and run towards the tail end, but make decent laps.
Right. Yeah, 'cause I got cars that are like yours. Well, maybe not yours, but like your class, so and that's nothing like a late model. That's very different.
Oh no, I've been you just move them around maybe and from quarter turn you're from lock to lock, and our cars there's like six turns it feels like from full left to full right.
Yeah, I see some people working in there.
So when it's right, you don't even break a sweat. When it's wrong, you get out of the car and your arms are burning, your hands are burning, you don't know why you're so sore, but when the car's right, it's fairly easy. When it's not right, you're wore out by the end of the 20 laps.
Is that how you felt on Saturday? Were your arms a little sore just from being so up on the wheel, or?
No, that was the night that I think that I probably could run another 2 tenths faster than we did if I got clean air. But Phillips definitely did his job and kept me where I had to work. But the car was great. We made a couple adjustments after the King of the Ring because we had those extra laps for the King of the Ring, and it worked as good as it's worked on any night. I could take it wherever I wanted to go. The car was phenomenal, and the track was so glass smooth, there was no holes to look out for, nothing to change what you were doing. All you had to do was focus on hitting your marks and, picking the throttle back up.
Right. Do you like the King of the Ring? I know you won it, so it might be a silly question now, but just in general.
I do. I like watching the one-on-one, and for me it kind of works out that I was able to go against Joe, because then I can, the win against Joe means as much to me or more than, anything we've accomplished this year, just because it's Joe. He's my friend. We spend a lot of time together. We're always picking at each other, and and he honestly wants the best for me, and I want the best for him. So for me, that was the most fun I've had all year, just to be able to one-on-one and get the best of Joe.
Right. Well, I think we're about at 45 minutes. So, if you wanna rattle off some sponsors here, thank all the people that help you out, and then we can get out of here.
All right, we'll start right in the front with Southern Tier Customs.
Ooh.
The super clean carpet surfaces that are on the hood. Dad Septic of Addison, Dave G, man, he's a great man. Todd Duvall with Copper Transport, and the Coons with Coons Ventures Inc. And the last is Garrett Wilson of GP Wilson Excavating or Grading and Excavating. He's a grouchy old fart, but you really couldn't ask for a better man, and I'm glad that he's around and supportive, and I just wish we'd get him to the track a few times.
Well, Brandon, I really appreciate you making time for me. I know we tried this for a little while and it never seemed to work out, but I'm glad we finally got it done.
All right. Thanks for having me on, and had a good time, and hopefully we can put on a show Saturday if we can get it in, and hopefully it's not quite so stressful. Maybe it'll be an easier night for me.
Yeah, you got your hero cards done? I heard Southern Tier Customs sells hero cards, and he's got nothing to do today.
Well, I doubt he's got nothing to do, but we did some autograph cards. Maybe I won't have to beg and plead people, the next time, instead of somebody might actually want one instead of me trying to beg and plead somebody to give them.
Trying to pander him off.
Yeah, I think I got to bribe the kids with candy to take them. I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing that or not, but it seems to work.
As long as you don't have a van.
That's right. No windowless van here.
So once again, I do want to remind everybody to please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts and Spotify, at Woodhull Raceway on Facebook and Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. Brandon, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. See you, buddy.